D72 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 375, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I am your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Keith Gordon from KeithTheComputerGuy.com. Hey, welcome to the show, Keith.
Hey, how you doing today, Jeff?
I am doing excellent. It is a good day to be in the computer repair business, I think.
It most definitely is, if you can keep up.
That's right. Times are always changing. Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and basically how you got started in computer repair?
Let's see. I'm 24 now, about to be 25. I started in computer repair when I was 15. I was in an after school program where my college counselor continued to persuade me to attend this after school program. I said, no, I don't want to do it. Girls don't like nerds. And she was like, just try it. So I tried it. And then I fell in love with it. And it just kind of took off from there. As soon as I finished up the after school program, I was offered a position to teach the after school program. It was computer refurbishment. The kids would get these donations from like different companies, and I would teach them with those donations like how to refurbish computers. And then we would take the computers that were ready to go and donate them out within the community.
So, oh, that's awesome. That's a great program, you know, on all sides. And what a way to learn. I think that's a great way to learn how to do computer repair is by taking an old computer and, you know, fixing it up so that you can, you know, put a bunch of them together and actually make good working computers that other people can use.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeff. And yeah, I truly learned the meaning of like another man's trash is another man's treasure.
That's so good. So where'd you go from there? So you started teaching these classes, and then obviously you started a business shortly after that, I'm sure.
Oh, I didn't know I started a business. So as I was teaching, you know, they were just over time people kept asking me to fix a computer, and I just kept saying yes because it was nice extra side money, you know.
Right.
And then it got to a point where when I was 21, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to open up a computer shop. And this is before I was calling myself Keith the Computer Guy. I was calling myself like Keith the Tech or some cheesy name. And then, but my customers kept calling me Keith the Computer Guy. So I was like, okay, whatever. I guess I'm Keith the Computer Guy. And that's what I made the LLC. And that's what I named the computer shop, Keith the Computer Guy. And it just took off from there. So I opened up the shop, and in the process of me opening up the shop, that's when I stumbled across TechNibble and Call That Girl, Lisa Hendricks. Well, shout out to her. I really love her. She helped me out a lot, and a bunch of other people. And, you know, this show, and I just kind of took all the advice and just, you know, went ahead and did it. And the shop, it was pretty successful. Over time, I started to see that the industry was changing. Okay. I started to see that people, as much as they wanted to get the computer fixed, they didn't want to spend a lot of money, which made sense. They constantly kept continuing to get viruses, and most people just were, 80% I would say, were fine with just a cell phone. They could just check their email on Facebook. That's really all they did, you know, play right. Games. I knew I had to make a decision, like how I was going to grow the business. So I went to New York to visit this marketing guru called Seth Godin, and I spent 2 days out there in Tribeca just listening to him talk. And he basically said, "Well, first off, Seth Godin, he's a really, really one of the top marketers in the world. Just to give you a sense of how much he is, the two day conference alone was like $4,000.
Wow."
Yeah, but I did not pay $4,000. I was a student at the time, so I just volunteered and paid $40, and that was pretty much it. My plan ticket to get there. So, okay. But he talked about the 80-20 rule, where 20% of your customers produce 80% of your income. So once I learned that concept, when I got back to Chicago, I actually looked at my client management system, which I was using a PC repair tracker at the time, and I actually saw that, hey, yeah, there was a few customers who actually who actually produced like 8% of my income, but those wasn't the customers who I gave all of my attention. I was focusing on the customers who only gave me a few pennies and nickels every 6 months.
Right.
So yeah, when I looked at it overall, I found that I was making more money outside of a shop than inside the shop, that the money outside was carrying the inside. So I made the conscious decision. I ended up closing the shop, the actual physical store, and started to focus on those small business customers and freelancers. And business just it went to a different level. Now I went from 300 clients down to like 20. And it's beautiful now. I get to work from home now, and I have way less overhead. And a few of my clients, one of my bigger clients is a charter school, which is interesting because dealing with a charter school, they have a lot of computers. There's over 400 computers. So this is something I've never. I just kind of was just pushed into
Okay.
services. And not in a sense of like where I give them a contract, but in a sense of like they pay me an hourly rate and I just, I come in and do what needs to be done.
Okay.
But it's gotten to the point now where they don't have a on-site IT guy, and there's a few schools over eight. So I'll actually be managing the entire Illinois area starting this summer, which will be interesting. So
Wow. That's definitely one way to grow the business. Yeah, schools always need, technical support. And because really nowadays I think the kids are starting to learn a lot earlier than, I know than I was. I don't even remember having a computer in any of my schools growing up. So that's all changed now.
yeah, it was definitely changing, and it's yeah, I'm starting to see education is like a really big untapped market. The more schools I go into, the more I see like they really need help with their technology. And if you have like good people skills, you can come into the school and like actually get down to their level and understand what they need without, like breaking the bank. Like they will really work with you. I do know for so that's pretty much my business model. It's just been focused on those clients who produce who you really necessarily aren't spending that much time on, but really could bring in, if you spent the time, it could really like take your business to the next level.
Yeah, that's a great tip because I think a lot of us get caught into those places where we, I think it's computer techs, we want to help people. But in that, these people do take a lot of our time and they don't really want to pay a whole lot of money. So you're doing the smart thing by concentrating on the ones that are actually paying you, want to work with you, and are, helping grow your business. It's a much better relationship. And when you have a business like that, I think it's more of a give and take on both sides. Instead of just having a customer that just takes from you all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, take. I've actually I'm still dealing with some customers like that who will still call, and I have to constantly remind them like, hey, I'm in a different my business has changed. I need you to pay me X amount of dollars for me to help you. I can't just do it for free. And it really boils down to the best thing when you're going to do it, just try to find somebody who that's maybe starting out, but at the same time is high quality, that you could pass the customer along to.
Right.
Or, because of course we don't want some of
No,
the
probably not.
Geek Squad or, right, which by the way, Geek Squad will be disappearing very soon. So everybody get ready.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
Well, yeah,
best.
I guess with Best Buy, I guess yeah, they're not going to be around forever, I don't think. They don't have the quality of stores and things in their stores to survive for very much longer. You're right.
And yeah, I would say the most crazy thing about business is that my business has changed so much. Oh my God. It's changed so much. One of the interesting things, and I'm slowly learning to deal with, is like with bigger corporate clients, they don't want to pay you same day.
Right, right.
They want to, you know, some of them, it varies. Some want to do 30 days. Some want to do 60 days. I don't do 30 days. You know, I try to shoot for at least 1 week. And that's something I'm not used to. You know, I'm used to getting paid the same day, and I'm used to blowing it in the same day. Right. So I've had to change my mindset. It's forced me to save money. It's forced me to just really budget a lot more and just really understand, you know, this is how you got it. That's one of the, I would say one of the things you have to change as far as your mindset. When you deal with bigger clients like that have accounting departments, they're not going to just cut you a check and a special check for you. They're going to cut you a check at the same time as all the vendors. So you just have to be patient, you know, and just, you know, build that relationship over time, you know. And I would say just keep an open mind. For me, it's just been keeping an open mind. The business is still changing now. And make sure that your website reflects like your current state. Like my website hasn't been updated in like 2.5 years. I'm kind of sad about it. I am in the process of updating it. And another thing I noticed, like as a business has gained more traction and I've been able to make, you know, increase my income, I've had these bright ideas to like venture into new businesses like real estate or learning how to program or different things. And it's like, just because you know how to fix computers, this doesn't mean you're a good real estate agent.
Right. You know?
So don't take your computer business money and like invest it into other things like early on. I would say just continue to focus on that. Like give it your all, you know, and just focus on it completely until you're at a point where you can pay all bills and save a couple thousand. Then, you know, once you've done that for a while, then you can, I would say, look into other investments, because I've pretty much shot arrows in all different places and I've had to like kind of kill them because my resources is just, you know, it's just everywhere. I'm everywhere.
Right. You only have so many hours in a day to accomplish what you need to accomplish.
Exactly. And say no to meetings. I don't do meetings anymore. I feel like meetings are a waste of time. If it's important, we can just Skype about it or, you know, send me an email. But for the most part, I try to stay away from meetings. And I also just try to stop at 5 o'clock. That's one of the biggest things. I used to be like, I work from like 9 until 10 every day, burning the midnight oil for this company. But one of the things you have to realize, like if you die today, best believe that company is going to find a new tech tomorrow. So don't sell your soul, you know?
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a real good point. I think a lot of us are trying to be available at all times, but you know, we have to realize that even running a business, you know, some people are working, you know, jobs and running a side computer business or whatever, and they've got family and stuff, and they really need to take that downtime. You've got to have, you know, my wife calls it me time, and everybody has to have that me time, and just to decompress and, you know, relax and be able to be a better technician. So when you go into a problem, you're not just constantly pulling your hair out. You're actually, you know, you're able to come in with a clear mind and able to solve the problem without getting frustrated.
Yes. Yes. You're able to solve without getting frustrated. And there's also something about you just knowing you're going to be done by 5 o'clock forces you to make better use of your time.
Right.
Versus you just knowing that, okay, I can stretch this to 7, and then you won't make good use of your time. Your brain will subconsciously sabotage the day.
Right, right. Well, you know what types of things have you been working on with these businesses and stuff? What have you been doing lately that's been popping up? I know big things, you know, a lot of people are still on the old Windows XP and a lot of people have been doing transitions and stuff. But what types of things have you been working on in your business?
I've been mainly working on getting the customers to upgrade their hardware and software. Because if they upgrade their hardware and software, then it makes it easier for you. If they keep up to date hardware, then you can manage 80% of problems remotely. So that's been my biggest push is doing more remote work. I used to be more of a, I'll pick it up and drop it off and do all of this stuff. However, if I sit, it's going to take me 30 minutes to pick up the computer and 30 minutes to drop it off. That's $80 I just lost already, possibly 100 sitting in traffic. And then I'm not even adding on gas. So it makes more sense now as I'm learning to just do everything remote as much as you can. Even though it may take you 10 minutes on the phone with the customer setting it up, but it's worth it in the long run. So that's pretty much what I've been doing with the customers, forcing them to upgrade their hardware because it's easier in the long run for them and me. I get way less phone calls. And also, as far as like with the charter schools, I've just been like going in there and just rocking it, like using Ignite to, Ignite really comes in handy when you have 300 computers that need Flash updated or Java.
Right.
Ignite is, if I had to, like, of course, they'll pay me to sit there for hours and go to each computer and log in, but I don't really want to do that. I'd rather get paid for doing something more fun. So it's been that. It's been just learning how to take those tools that I use for one or two computers at a time and like do it on a massive scale. So that's really what I would say, automation. Just using it a whole lot more. I've been hooking up a lot more iPads and tablets and getting the businesses to be more of a cloud and trust software as a solution products. Getting them to get away from servers if they really don't need it, to embracing like Dropbox and or Mosey, stuff like that. Well, I won't say Mosey, but Dropbox, I don't like Mosey.
All right. So you've been taking, your businesses, you've been using, different things to, automate things and back things up. What are most of your customers asking for? What is it they want when they're going to hire you to come in? What types of things do they need from you?
The original reason for most of them bringing me in is that the computers are running slow.
Okay.
And when I come in, my main intention is to figure out why the computers are running slow. At the same time, figure out what else is going on. How else can I help them? Do they need a website? Do they need Google Apps set up for email? Do they need, is their server running too slow? Do they need antivirus? Like, I'm basically doing an assessment when I first walk into a business or a customer. Like, they originally called me in for one problem, but I'm looking for other problems that they might not be aware of or, even know exist.
I was going to say, so you're giving them an overall picture of what they need. Because I think you're right. I think that's where it mostly starts off. The calls that I've gotten from businesses in the past have always been, this computer's it's running, but it's running so slow, it's unusable. We need somebody to look at it. And usually you come in there and you go, how long have you been working with this computer like this? And you'll hear anything from 6 months to a year, and you're like, why would you do that? So if you come in and clean that thing up and go, all right, now I can sell you a maintenance package where I will come and maintain this computer for you on a regular basis, and you'll be much happier. It will work like this all the time instead of slowing down over the next year.
Yeah, so you hit it on the head, being able to sell that maintenance package and just really assess like what it is they need. Like for me, I always try to figure out like how can I maintain this relationship long term? What else do they need?
Right.
I'll make suggestions, and when I make the suggestions, I'll already have the prices down packed in my head and how much this will cost, how much that will cost, like what are the benefits. I already have like case studies in my head or, stories of other customers on how I did it for them and it improved their business overall. Yeah, you just really have to like figure out what the customer needs without them telling you, because they don't know what they need. They just know they need a computer and it's so much bigger than that.
Right, exactly. Well, and they're paying you to come in as the expert and to lead them in the right direction. And it's one of those things, if you can justify why they're paying you, that's going to benefit you and it's going to benefit them, in the overall picture. But I think it's getting to that point where you have to you have to understand why they need you to help them on a regular basis. Now, are you selling, do you sell like monthly maintenance contracts, or do you just work at an hourly rate just when they need you?
Yeah, I just work at an hourly rate just when they need me. I've tried to do monthly maintenance plans, and it's just, I haven't figured out the exact way for me to get it for it to work. So I just stick with the, you know, call me when you need me type of deal. And people should, you know, if you're going to charge customers like, you know, anything, if you're going to charge customers, period, you should think of yourself as like, that, you know, like a wedding planner. When you call a wedding planner, and they do everything. Like they get the cake, they get the dresses, the location, they just do everything. Like this is how you have to think of yourself when you're like getting called in as a consultant, pretty much, because you're getting paid consultant rates. Right? It's like you have to come in and just, okay, I recommend this and that. Okay, you don't want to go to this restaurant. Okay, I have something cheaper. Like I'm pretty much going there and I'm like with like an eagle's eye and try to figure out everything I can improve. And of course, they don't always go with everything, but.
Well, yeah, at least you're giving them the options. I think that's the biggest thing is you're always going to come in. You're going to assess the company and say, listen, this is what I see. And this is what I think you need at this point. And, you know, because the prices can be high sometimes, they'll be like, I don't know if I want to do that. So you kind of bring it down, but you got to set that expectation. You let them know, okay, we'll go down to this lesser package, but just understand you're still going to have some of these problems that you're having now. And, you know, as long as they're okay with that, then, you know, they're going to find that happy medium and you're going to find that happy medium and, you know, be able to come together and do business with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what it's all about, working together and even understanding, like, even whatever plan you come up with, it doesn't have to be immediately rolled out right then and there. It can be implemented over time within the course of a year, you know?
That's and a good tip.
And that'll keep you in business because you'll be like, hey, okay, we've reached this point. Are you ready for this point? And I go, yeah, okay, let's do it now. You know, they'll slowly see the improvements, like, And just make sure you just make honest like assessments. Don't think about like, you know, a quick buck, because if you do right by the customer, like they will always call you back. Like my customer retention rate is like crazy. It's like 80%, 85%. Like I want to say it's higher than that, but I'm going to be modest right now. Like every customer I've acquired, they usually stay unless I fire them, you know.
Right, right. Okay, that's and, good.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I have made a lot of mistakes. And when I do make those mistakes, I just own up to them. You know, I apologize. I send flowers. Sometimes I come into businesses and I'll bring pizza or something for the employees or candy. Like you really have to, you know, just go above and beyond, you know, just do something nice, you know?
Yeah, these are great tips. I'll tell you what, because I think a lot of us, as computer repair techs, we just go out there and we get the job done, but we don't really think about the long-term effects. That's great, you know, because what employee working at any business anywhere doesn't like pizza or candy?
Right. Right, right. So the employee, do you want to get the employees on your side? Because when a boss is like, hey, man, we're paying Keith too much, they're going to be like, no, we love Keith.
Right.
Bring him back. We don't want anybody else because Keith is nice. He's sweet. He's not rude. Win the employees' hearts. You'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's good. That's real good. So what are some of your favorite tools right now, software or hardware that you're working with on a regular basis that you really like?
I really like D7.
Okay.
D7 has been a lifesaver. I really like D7, and I like Ignite, and I like, I think that's really it. Yeah, that's really it. I don't really use too much of anything else. And System Restore, I read it in Call That Girl's book. She talked about how like System Restore is so like underrated. Like I've used it tons of times and it just saved me hours worth of troubleshooting. So
yeah, I remember her. I've heard her talk about that, and I actually remember back in the day, Steve Cherubino, when he first started his computer repair shop and was originally doing the Podnets Daily shows, is that he used System Restore like most all the time just to get to a base point where he could finish cleaning the computer out. And he said that saved him a ton of time sitting there trying to troubleshoot things and get it to a point where he could actually work on it. So that was his go-to tool back in the day.
Wow.
Now, are you using the original D7 or are you using D7-2?
I don't know which D7 it is. I bought it a while ago and it's branded with my name on it.
Okay.
It doesn't have like the cloud features, anything like that, but it's constantly being updated. So
right.
I don't know.
So yeah, that sounds like the original D7. So you're able to use that. And, now did you figure out how to use that on your own or did you just play with it over time or how did that work for you?
Yeah, I bought it back in 2011 when it first came out.
Okay.
And, I just played with it. Just figured out how to use it. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Some of it is very dangerous, I must admit.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I've learned by trial and error, like, hey, yeah, don't go down that route unless you absolutely need to. So, yeah, it's great. It's gold. You just have to, yeah, there's no downsides to it. I love it. It's a pretty nice file size to transfer over to various computers and.
Great. Yeah, I'm in a process right now of learning how to use D7-2 because unlike you, apparently I'm not smart enough, but I had a hard time, wrapping my head around it. I started, kind of teaching myself and using some of the basics of the tool. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm understanding how powerful that tool really is and what you can do with it. And at this point, just starting to learn how to use it properly, it is saving me a ton of time. I'm able to, access a computer most times and give them an idea of what's going on in about 5 minutes. And then we can go from there and they can figure out how much they want to pay depending on the type of repairs that need to be done or, move along from there. So, D7-2 is a phenomenal piece of software. And I think as you use it over time, I think you start to figure out new things with it. And that's, that's one of the nice things about it. And Nick Shaw is constantly updating that thing, both D7 and D7-2. He's constantly updating those things and making them work for, the computer repair techs just to make it easier on their business. And I love that, that tool in itself. So.
Yeah, and I appreciate him for building it because, like I said, since I've bought it since 2011, it's always updates. He's always updating it. He's very consistent. I wonder if he even sleeps.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's awesome. All right, so you said also you like the Nainite, or how did you pronounce it?
I said I've been saying Nainite. I could be pronouncing it wrong.
Actually, all of us probably could be pronouncing it wrong. I looked at it and go, and it's kind of a silly name. I guess that's why I remembered it that way. I always say Nainite.
Nainite. Yeah, it's something, man. I went to a public school, so we didn't learn too much.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's a great tool for, updating all the things that you need to, have updated Java, Adobe Reader. And now, do you do those updates on a lot of those things? Adobe Reader, Java, Shockwave, yeah. Air, whatever.
Most definitely, okay. Most definitely, I do it. One of the things I've noticed with like the schools as they embrace more technology, the websites that they access the technology through, a lot of them require it to be updated on a consistent basis.
Right.
So. If you have like, I really want to say over two machines, it can be a headache. Like you having to log in and all this stuff. I would just use that. Like the $20 is paid for itself a month, like countless times for me. Like I just sit back and can drink a little, drink my bottle of water and watch it just install what I've seen it install update like 10 programs across 400 computers in like 15 minutes, probably less than that. But yeah.
Oh, that's definitely a time saver. Mm-hmm. That's a great tip, because I don't think a lot of people understand the, you know, what that tool can actually do for them too. And that's a great, I mean, wow. You know, 400 computers in 15 minutes. Cause I would think if you would have to go to each one of those machines and even just start running the program, by the time you went to the website, clicked on everything, you're talking about hours and hours and hours of work.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah. And I guess, yeah, when people much rather take like that route, cause it's like, okay, I get to bill more hours. But again, like, don't think about it like that. If you could do that and then show your clients and say, hey, I did this in 15 minutes. It would have took the other guy like 20 or 30 hours just right. to install this. They're going to go, wow, like, wow. And you actually show, like, they're going to go, wow. Like, people love magic. Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing that, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of people, even in the computer repair field, that will say, I don't want to really update, you know, Adobe Reader. I'd rather put, you know, whatever the old Firefox one used to be, Foxit or whatever. And I've always been like this. The reason I update Adobe Reader, Air, you know, all those types of programs, whether you're mm-hmm. using them or not, is because if you don't update them, at some point, most of those people have downloaded those programs with another free program that they've gotten online anyways. So that piece of software will sit there and it doesn't automatically update. Uh-huh. So I feel better having that when I have the computer in my shop to fully update those things, because I know they're going to get them on there anyway. So they might as well have the updated version. And hopefully we're in a lot of these versions now where they automatically update, even though I still think you have to click on them, which a lot of people don't.
Exactly. Because they're afraid. Yeah, afraid. Yeah. And you know, there's cases where you don't update them. Like, I have a few tax office clients, and I cannot update Adobe Reader. It can't go past 9, Adobe Reader 9, or it'll affect the tax software because of how it's written for some strange reason. I've had that too. But again, like, when you're first dealing with a new client, instead of you doing it on all the computers, you just like test all of your theories out on one, you know, and then kind of work out the kinks.
Right. So, that's a good tip too. Instead of hosing all the computers, you're going to get that one and go, yeah, this works. This doesn't work.
Yeah. Every business, and you can't get mad for how, you know, companies write their software. I used to, but I was just like, whatever. I just work around it, make a mental note.
Right. It's kind of sad. You know, it can be frustrating sometimes that these companies are not keeping up. I deal with a lot of customers that I've had to actually roll their Internet Explorer all the way back to Internet Explorer 8, because mm-hmm. with the piece of software they're using, that's the only one that is reliable 100% of the time. So I have a choice. I can either move them up to the latest one or and constantly get called back, or I can just roll it back and go, well, hopefully the antivirus and all the different things on a computer are going to catch whatever needs to be caught, or this person is probably going to get infected. And I think it's abusive of companies not to allow the writing of new software, and so that these people can actually use the latest, greatest Internet Explorer. Java's the other one too.
Mm-hmm.
I've got people on, you know, 20, they're 20 behind on their Java updates.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's all their program, that's all that program will work with.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I've also seen, like, a lot of businesses, they haven't updated their software in years, like years. Like, I'm talking about businesses that can be like downtown Chicago that are making like millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, and they will not update it. So again, it goes back to like that concept. Like, you sometimes you have to like show them the benefits, and you have to slowly roll it out. Like, hey, you need the update, because sometimes I've seen it a lot. Like, they'll buy a new computer and then it won't work. They're like, oh my God, I have Windows 8. Why doesn't it work with my Windows XP server? And I'm like, because it's old, you know. Well, you know, you can't like go that far behind and that far forward. Like, you have to, you know.
Right, exactly.
And like I said, it saves you so much headache if you can convince them to upgrade their hardware. Oh my God, it'll save. And from that point, if they upgrade the hardware, you can manage everything remotely. You know, everything can be done remotely. You can set up a, you know, undetended access. I like log me in. I've used all of them. I've used House Call. I've used Citrix. I've used all of them. Only thing I don't like about LogMeIn is that it's only on Windows, but whatever. Because I use a Mac mainly.
Okay.
Quiet as kept. but I just installed like a virtual machine on my Mac to run it on Windows anyway, so it works out. But you just have to constantly be open minded. Just figure out those customers who could really, really, you could really grow with. And, you know, if you really just took the time out to help them.
Right. No, that sounds really good. Yeah, that's, yeah. These are, you're giving some great tips and stuff like that. Now, you said you use LogMeIn for remote. Now, are you doing a lot of remote support once you get these businesses and stuff set up?
Yeah. When the initial contact, of course, I'll come in and introduce myself. We'll do some physical one-on-one, but yeah, majority of the time, instead of me coming, I can do it remotely. Majority of the work. I've even done like reset routers remotely. Like I can just be on the phone with one of their employees and I could just walk them through it. Like, hey, okay, what does this say? I'll log in remotely, or if I can't log in remotely, it's like as a bad virus, I'll boot it in safe mode with networking. And if that doesn't work, then that's when I need to come in.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess that would save you a lot of time from having to travel around. And I guess I've never been big on remote support, but now I'm seeing the benefits of it, that it can save me a ton of time having to go out and deal with small little issues that I could basically log in the computer, fix it, and bill for that time and be on my way.
Yeah. And it's hard. You know, it's a hard concept. It's like, it makes more sense to just get in the car and drive. But I have this thing called Automatic that's connected to my car's computer, and it syncs with my iPhone, and I can see like how many miles I drive and all of that. And the amount of time I used to spend in the car is ridiculous. Like even now, this week alone, I've driven 69 miles. I've spent 3 hours in the car. That's crazy. And this is just Tuesday. I haven't even started up my car today. So, you know, last week I spent 14 hours in the car. So like, and you add that up, 14 hours a week times what, 4 weeks? That's like, oh my God, what is that? What's 14 times four? That's,
we're looking at almost 60 hours right there.
Yeah, a month. And then 60 times 12. What is that?
Oh, yeah. That's, now you're looking at over 600 hours for in the. That's a lot of time. It is a lot of time to spend in the car.
720. Yeah, 720 hours. Yeah, you spend 720 hours a year in a car.
Right.
That's crazy. So. So not only is it more environmentally friendly, and I don't know, I'm learning, like sitting in the car all day stresses me out. I don't like sitting in the car, and I'm just trying to keep myself a little bit more happy, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's nice to be able to sit in front of your computer, you know, in your pajamas and, you know, log in your customer's computer and fix it and move along with your day. So no, that's actually smart business. And I think a lot of us techs, myself included, are starting to realize the benefits of setting a lot of that stuff up. Automation, and setting up, this remote support where you can log into a computer. That's key, I think. And yeah, Lisa, I know you referred to Lisa Hendrickson earlier. And yeah, she is the remote support goddess, far as being able to, you know how to go in, do remote support and get those problems fixed in a short period of time. So yeah, I really appreciate her stuff too. Well, I'll tell you what, I have one email and we can, if you're still okay, we can, answer this email and you might have an answer. You might not. I don't know. Cause I emailed this person back and I didn't have an answer, so I'm going to put it out to you and the audience. And if anybody has any answers, We'll have an email address here shortly. Okay, so John writes in, I have been a supporter of Podnuts for a while and was wondering if you have or can recommend any Twitter feeds that give good tweaks, tips for PC technicians. So I don't know if, do you use Twitter at all?
Yeah, I do use Twitter. I haven't really used it to, I do use Twitter a lot. I use it to like just be social, like, you know, post Instagram pictures and stuff. And
okay.
Well, so when they say Twitter feeds, do they mean how do you get customers on Twitter? Is that what they mean?
No, I think they're just looking for, you know, sometimes if you go into forums and stuff, you'll see, you know, tips and tricks on how, you know, to be a PC technician. And again, John, appreciate that. John works is a corporate IT person. But anyways, he's basically talking about if there's a feed or somebody that maybe puts tips and tricks or tweaks and tips, excuse me, in a Twitter feed that they might, you know, that they come across. You know, people have done it in blog posts. People have done it in, you know, other social networks. But I'm not a real big Twitter user. I do, you know, kind of look at it for certain things, but I usually get just, you know, normal news feeds and stuff like that.
Okay. So
he's looking for somebody that's, you know, maybe another PC technician that's putting out tips, you know, on a regular basis that, you know, people could use.
Oh, I see. So he's asking you, how do you go about doing it is what he's asking.
Well, I think he's asking if there's anybody out there that is doing it. Because he wants that information, you know, he wants to be able to add that person to his feed so that he can get those tips and tweaks so that, you know, it's just helpful information on a regular basis.
I see. Well, my suggestion to him is that he downloads one of the Twitter clients like TweetDeck or something like that. I know that is for Mac, but there's other ones for Windows.
Yes.
And search Twitter for like different words, like computer repair or my computer is broken. A lot of people actually tweet that their computer is messed up, and there's a lot of people tweeting articles as well. So okay. One tip I recommend is just respond to those people within a geographical location closest to him. And also, yeah, just type it in what he's looking for, certain articles, and I'm sure they'll pop up. I've seen a bunch of them when I search.
Oh, that's a great tip. I didn't even think about that. Instead of using the website, actually using a third client or third party client to, and TweetDeck's always been a good one. I think Twitter owns them now, but they were always a good one for getting information. So do a search inside there, and that should get you maybe what you're looking for, John. So, All right, very cool. All right, so if somebody wanted to catch up with you and or send you an email or something like that, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
You can go to my web. Well, you can email me at keith@keiththecomputerguy.com or, you know, just go to my website, keiththecomputerguy.com, if you don't remember the email.
Okay. That's simple enough, I think. Yeah, I like the computer name there. All right. Well, again, Keith, I appreciate having you on the show, and I appreciate all your insight, and I hope you'll come back with some more stories of what you're doing in the trenches and what's working for you and what's not.
Well, I most definitely appreciate you, Jeff, for reaching out to me, and I'm happy to be on the show for the second time, and I wish you much success.
Very cool. All right, guys, you can find me on Google+ at Jeffrey Halish or Twitter at TechNutPC. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. And you guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all, but it puts a little change in the pocket of the Podnuts Network to bring you these great shows. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.